Blog Talk Radio.
Is the bleak night, my lord? Look! The moon like a testicle hangs low in the sky.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Greetings, Fonzie. Baz about me, remember me? Mork from Ork? You once called me the nutso from outer space?
Look at this thing. Look, Flipper.
Good morning, Vietnam!
He's out by the Sailor Man. He's out by the Sailor Man.
Who is that, Captain?
It's Peter Pan.
Hi! 10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
Fossey, you do Martha Graham, or Twyla.
Oh, no, you aren't. You are here without your parents.
This is kidnapping. Now go, shoot.
Which one do you recommend? The Fujitsu or the Fuji?
Where's my mom and dad?
We don't know. This house has been empty for years. Everyone thought you were dead.
You don't know about real loss. Because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself.
Why can't we treat death with a certain amount of humanity and dignity and decency and, God forbid, maybe even humor?
Captain, my captain.
Sit down, Mr. Anderson. You hear me? Sit down.
Support. 10-6-9er, we got whores on the city. We need backup now.
You're listening to Terrify Radio. The best damn paranormal show on the net.
We're there, dude.
And welcome to Terrify Radio. I'm the Paranormal Outlaw, the Mouth from the South. And joining me, as always, is Miss Melissa Duff and Tasha Starr. Tasha will be joining us in the next 15, 20 minutes. Melissa, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing?
Doing okay. It's been a crazy month, to say the least, with all the turmoil going out in the world. Yeah, so it's one of those things. And, of course, tonight's show is a special show. We're going to do a dedication to Robin Williams, a very good man. I'm not going to look at how he died. I mean, I know the details have come out today of more details of his passing. But us in the paranormal, we look at it like this. He may not be on this side, but now he has crossed over to the other side. So his energy and everything is over there. God inherited a a hilarious man, to say the least, for their enjoyment over there. So that's what we're going to do. I know with a lot of people, you know, they're mourning, and it's a shock to everybody when you lose somebody that practically all of us, you know, have grown up watching this man. Not only do his stand up, but the hundreds of roles that he's played in movies, and you know, it's kind of like losing a family member, in a way. As much movies and television as I watch, you know, it, being a fellow actor, I look at it as a way to celebrate their life, you know, because what people don't realize, when someone passes, yes, it's tragic. Yes, it's sad. But being that this is somebody that is touched, you know, millions of people, the best way to get over it is talk about the man, play some clips, laugh, because that's the way he would want it, you know? Yeah, it does shed light to what people go through. We all go through depressions. Some people go through addictions as well that bring on these depressions. I've actually lost a couple friends to this type of death. So, it you know, it's close to home for me, but at the same time, I know as a person in the entertainment, they don't want to be remembered how they died. They want to be remembered how they were here on Earth. So that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to have fun and try to be as uplifting as possible. That's how we do on the show, right?
That's great.
So throughout the show, we're going to be playing, I got various, I spent 2 hours today at my parents' because they got a really fast internet. So I've uploaded numerous, and it took me so long because I was sitting there just laughing my ass off at his stand-up. And some of it I've heard before many times, and it still makes me laugh. And I got various clips from Dead Poets Society, Good Will Hunting, and Good Morning Vietnam to play tonight.
Yes.
So we're going to be doing that throughout the show. Another lady that was talking to me last night, she has a little story about Robin Williams that she experienced. So she's going to come and call in at some point and share that. And if anybody else wants to call in at any point in the show, we'll try to get to your call. And, you know, you can talk about Mr. Robin Williams, you know, the good things, what some of your favorite movies may be, or a joke that he said, or a quote, those kind of things. So we're not really going to get into all this discussion about, you know, his passing. The news is doing enough of that. You know, it's depressing enough to see it all on the news for us to repeat it.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah.
That and Facebook.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's just that's what we do in the paranormal. I used to fear death. Used to. I was scared of death. Yeah, I still mourn when somebody passes, but I don't let it get to me as much because after doing all this in the paranormal and having all these experiences, I know for a fact that we continue existing. We're in another form, but our personalities go with us, and, you know, whether there's, you know, because some people don't believe in heaven and hell, I do, but trying to be as broad as I can in my discussion, they go somewhere. They do exist on another plane. So this is just a transition from the physical body to the spirit body. That's the way I look at death now. So anyway, let me see here. Let's get our sponsor ad out of the way. Let me find it here and get that playing here. All right, here's our sponsor, NOLA Ghost Tours.
Going to New Orleans for the weekend, for vacation? Are you wanting to take a ghost hunting tour but tired of the same old walking tours where you don't even get to go into the location? And you're not even sure if the history is accurate? Well, call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. This team of guys are going to take you into a real haunted location where you're going to get to use the state-of-the-art equipment that ghost hunters use. Be the paranormal investigator. You get to work with an experienced, competent team of investigators and have the real, true paranormal experience. experience the dark side of New Orleans. Call NOLA Ghost Hunting Tours. They have tours Friday through Monday. Tours start at 7 and at 10 p.m. For more information, call 504-708-3567.
And that was our sponsor out of New Orleans. So if you're down that way, check them out. Melissa, now,
yes.
What are some of your favorite movies that Robin has done?
I like Mrs. Doubtfire. That was really good. And I actually, when I worked for Kodak, I liked One Hour Photo.
Yeah, you know, as somebody that's acted in a lot of plays, I think I've done 75 stage plays, and I've been in an extra in 2 movies. Acting's tough, and for somebody like him, and there's other actors that are just like, and actresses that are like him that started off in comedy and made their way onto the big screen. And the man was multi-talented when it came to roles. I mean, he did funny roles, but he also did serious roles. And that's what I, as somebody looking up as I was growing up, when I decided that I wanted to major in theater, I had my actors and actresses that I always looked up to. And Robin was one of them because, for one thing, I looked up to him for his comedy. Anytime I saw a movie coming out and it said Robin Williams, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to see that, you know? So, I mean, he's even done voices. I mean, we all know that he was Aladdin, the voice of Aladdin, and he was one of the penguins in Happy Feet. So he's done a lot of voiceovers as well. And so I think my favorite movie, have you seen What Dreams May Come? Have you seen that movie?
Yeah, that was a really good movie.
Yes, that's one of my favorites. And that was a serious role, and it had Cuba Gooding Jr. in it as well. And it talked about some serious issues, which ironically is, you know, how he passed away. But it also shed light on some of the afterlife, you know, and it was one of those really good movies. I really enjoyed it. Every time I watch it, I still get teary-eyed. There's parts of that movie that just get to me, you know? And that's what you want a movie to do. You want them to, as an entertainer, you want people to have those feelings, whether it's joy, you know, sadness, scary, or happiness, you know? That's the, you know, you got a good movie when you have feelings throughout the movie. And that was one of my favorites. Comedy-wise, I love Good Morning. Good Morning. Good Morning, Vietnam. Love that movie. Mrs. Doubtfire was a great movie. Sadly, you know, they had to say that Robin had signed on to do a sequel, but that won't happen. But, hey, we have the first one still to watch, people. And that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I even enjoyed his sitcom that came out this last year, The Crazy Ones. It was very funny. Sadly enough, it didn't have the ratings, but, you know, that's how the networks work. You know, I there was all those movies at one point that came out about Peter Pan. Even Hook was good to me. I liked Hook. Some people did.
That was a good one. I like that too.
Hey, even Popeye. I mean, he was in a musical movie. You know, there wasn't a lot of musical movies that came out when Popeye came out. And we all remember the cartoon. You know, I remember watching Popeye growing up. And, so when that came out, I was pretty pumped as well. I didn't – at that point, I'd already known Robin as comedy, right? So when they said, Robin Williams going to play Popeye, I'm like, how's that going to work? So it sadly enough, showing my age, I even remember Mork and Mindy.
Yes, I had the rainbow suspenders and everything, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Us older fogies, even Tasha's from our generation as well. So, yeah, we all remember. And that's what I'm saying. For us in our generation, we've grown up our entire lives with this man somewhere on the television or in the on the big screen. So, it's kind of like losing a family member. But like I said, I'm going to remember what he's done because to this day, you could put something in from him. I don't know how many times I've seen his HBO special live at the Met. And I can put that on and watch it and laugh my ass off. And I know all the lines to his stand up, everything, and I still laugh because of the way he delivers them. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do right now, while we're waiting on Tasha, Melissa and Tasha haven't really gotten to converse yet, so this will be their first time tonight. So while we're waiting for Tasha to come on, and you'll love her, you'll laugh your ass off. She's just like us, just laid back, funny, and like I said, you two have a lot in common with abilities. She knows how to. She's honed hers a little bit more, but hey, you got somebody to learn from, and she probably can help you and learn how to control them a little bit more. So,
okay, I'll just make sure I'm not on TJ.
I don't know if she can do that. She didn't like read my house or tell me what I was wearing, but she was spot
That's
on.
Can. That's scary.
Yeah. I actually did that once. I freaked out one of our guests that was on the show. I talked to her after the show, and she's a psychic, and she's real good. It just popped in my head, red. Ask her about red. So I typed, I said, hey, are you wearing a red dress right now? And she said she damn near dropped her laptop. She goes, how in the hell do you know that? And I said, I don't know. It popped in my head.
Wow.
Yeah, so... we're going to play, and I didn't label him, unfortunately. I know this is some of his older stand-up, which you'll tell by all the cuss words. But that's why it's so funny. But this is Robin in his earlier years in stand-up, and we'll be right back in a little bit.
Hair. I'm going to do something special with you. I want to put maybe some spruce on your hair. It's a combination of sperm and mousse, okay? It gives it that lived-in, loved-in look. Let's get some height, okay? People aren't coming back. Let's just put these on right now. California Highway Police, stop for a brief moment. But first, I'd like to show you some dance steps. We raised enough money tonight. We're doing pretty well, but you realize as much money as we raise, a stealth bomber costs $1 billion, and hey, what is a stealth bomber? It's a bomber that doesn't show up on radar. You can't see it, so you don't fucking need one. Here's what you do. Instead of building a stealth bomber, you just have to go out in the woods, spread some wreckage, and go, one of them crashed. Pretty soon the Russians are going, we better fucking get one too. Then you can build a stealth air force and a stealth army and a stealth navy, and pretty soon you're not spending money anymore because we're $1 trillion in debt. Who do we owe this money to? Somebody named Vinny? Want my fucking money today. Put it in the bag. So maybe break some nuclear arms. But damn it. Do you realize why we're having arms control now? It's a good thing. Peace. It's wonderful. But the truth is,
we're broke. The Russians are broke. It's like two junkies negotiating over a plastic spoon.
Life's a bitch.
Okay.
But hey, we've got our own people right here just doing what they can. Remember the last temptation of Christ? There were people outside with signs going, this movie is not real.
Come here, Sparky.
No movie's real. Wait a minute. Whoa, hold on. And they have signs. They have big signs that say, you will not get into the kingdom of heaven. And I look at these geeks and go, are you going to be there?
I'm not going. It ain't going to be me with you. No. Now, a movie like The Last Temptation to Christ is not. What is offensive about that? Nothing to me. Except, here's the fact that Jesus is always played by someone who looks like Ted Nugent.
Okay.
You never have a Jesus who's Jewish, who's going, I got lepers here, you bastard. I walked across the water. Come here, prick. Open the door. And you never have Romans who are Italians. They're always played by some English actor going, oh, Thomas, where's my brother Fellatio? Bring him here. You never have a Roman who's an Italian going, I'm Caesar. Kiss my fucking ass. What the fuck are you doing? No, the strange thing is, it isn't even sex anymore. It's emotions, it's Freud, it's psychology. You have a relationship, you go to therapy, you work on it and find out, so my mom was a guy, so what? Now, wait a minute, you realize, wait, the father of modern psychology was Sigmund Freud, a man who did enough cocaine to kill a small horse. And he came up with the theory that his mother won his dick, okay? Now, people who do a lot of cocaine are going, hey, not a bad theory, okay. Because everyone who does cocaine thinks that everyone wants your dick, except you can't find it. No! Yes, I used to do cocaine. I had a cocaine problem. It wasn't a problem. Everybody had it. It was okay. But I found something a lot more scary than cocaine. It's called Nintendo. That's some kiddie cocaine. You ever see a little kid play that? Give him a little chocolate. Daddy, Mario. 8 hours later, how you doing? Hey, listen, could you spare some money for Pac-Man, motherfucker? And then play it backwards. Play the Nintendo cartridge. You put the cartridge in and play it backwards. It goes, we won the war. We won the war. We won the war. Wait! Do you realize? If mankind had had cocaine at the dawn of civilization, we would have evolved in maybe 5-10 minutes. We'd still be in the cave going, I don't know what to fucking do with this, though. If we had marijuana at the dawn of time, we'd be going, oh, fire, fuck. About, dude. We have a hole in the ozone. This is not a good thing. This is not a slow leak. This is not something you've been spackled the fuck over. You ever think that God might come back and go, who the fuck did this? Wait a minute. Whoop, whoop. All the animals are going, it's man. They did it. Kill them. Wasn't us. A long night. My voice is gone. I feel like, hi, I'm Harvey Fierstein doing Pygmalion. Thank you for being here tonight. This is amazing to look out and see the same people. The hunger. The wild night. Thank you for helping. You're doing a good thing, baby. You're doing a good thing. Thank you for letting me come out and play for a few minutes. You too, Lumpy. Take care. Have a wonderful evening. God bless
you. All right, we're back. I laughed my ass off. Oh, and welcome to the show, Miss Tasha Starr. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, so talking about the whole Robin Williams thing, what do you think about him hanging himself?
I don't know. I just heard about it tonight. I was like, wow, he killed himself by himself.
I knew that he did it last night. They were trying to use
last night.
Yeah, when they use the fancy term asphyxiation, the only way someone dies of asphyxiation is whether somebody's choking them out or if they induce it themselves. But, yeah, the details came out today, and it's just, it's tough. It's tough.
And it doesn't matter, read all over the internet and stuff, okay, well, he committed suicide, blah, blah, his life wasn't that bad. Well, apparently it was, but sorry, my phone's going off. But seriously, if you've got all that money, why in the hell you got to kill yourself? Just asking. It's not that bad. You shouldn't kill yourself anyway. I'm going to say that right now because I'm religious, but whatever. Let's go on.
Yeah. I know. It's not to sugarcoat it. It's just I've lost two friends to suicide, so, I know. And, never knew it was coming, never saw any signs. They were happy-go-lucky people, but, that's the persona that people that are going through some really hard times in their head, they put on that facade. With Robin, he always, when he was out in public, tried to make people laugh, and he was a very sad man, very sad man.
But
I
go out in public all the time, and I have to make people laugh and make them smile and all this stuff, but there is never one day in my life that I've ever considered killing myself. Just saying.
Right. Well, it's hard. It's hard for all of us to understand because we're not going through what they're going through and what they're what their inner voice in their head's telling them,
depression and, I don't know if it was depression or he was bipolar or whatever, but I've been diagnosed with depression, bipolar disorder. I'm still rolling, and I'm not on medication, and I don't want to be.
Right.
I have right now with cigarettes, but whatever, let's roll on. it doesn't get that bad, and that's why I do my show about, spirituality. It's always about God and or whatever being you want to believe in.
Mm-hmm. Right. And,
as bad as you think it is.
Well, you never know. And not to say that in this case it was or wasn't, but I know dealing with some of the certain types of cases in the past with residentials, some of the real evil cases, some of the people involved in those cases were either had attempted suicide or was contemplating it because of the entities that were there that were getting inside their head. Not saying that's what happened in this case, but you also have that factor in a lot of cases out there. You have
I agree with you. That happens in a lot of cases, but, at his point, he had so much money, and he's like, oh, my God, I can't take this anymore. I can just hear that for some reason. How can you not take it anymore when you're, a almost billionaire?
Well, it just goes to show money doesn't buy happiness.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah.
And money is the root of all evil, too. Remember that?
Yeah. Because, look at all the famous people in the past that do stupid stuff. Whitney overdosed. Michael Jackson had a moron eating too much propofol. You had, oh, God.
You can go back. All throughout history,
Chris Farley.
Though.
Yeah, Chris Farley. You look at all these people that have died from, stupid choices that they've made. And,
and if I can bring it back just a little bit, even Elvis Presley, he overdosed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the toilet.
And now, and sometimes you wonder how much you know, not to get too much into the religion side of things, but, you know, some people out there, I've heard this, I don't know, I can't really put my thumb on it if that's the truth or not, because we really don't know.
Exactly.
But some people in their religious beliefs believe that God has a plan for us all, right? And when our time card is up, it's up. You know, it's time to check out. And so,
there was a sermon that my grandmother was talking about, and she heard on TV the other day, Sunday morning. Every hair on our head is numbered, and once those hairs are numbered out, we're gone. We're not saying about going bald. You know, talking about, you know, a religious sense, once you've done so much, your time's up.
Yeah.
And that's the way I believe.
And sometimes, you know, it's just my theory on this, but sometimes I believe that God works in mysterious ways, and sometimes in order to get a lesson that all of us need to learn across to us, somebody passes away that causes that lesson to be learned.
Yeah, he will set you down real quick. I know that for a fact.
So,
my grandmother knows that for a fact. My mom knows that for a fact. I mean, I can go on and on.
Yeah.
In particular,
you know,
like, my grandmother, I mean, I hate to bring in, like, doctors right now, but she had cervical cancer. Or, no, wait, let me take it back. Ovarian cancer, 1984, 15-pound tumor. They still got it on display at UK Hospital up here. Anyway, they gave her, like, a year to live. I think it's, like, 30 years later, she's still kicking. I don't believe in doctors whatsoever.
Well, you know,
unless I need, like, an antibiotic, I've got the flu or something.
Well,
Robin
Williams being such an icon, now everybody is talking about suicide. It's bringing that issue to the forefront, right?
Yeah.
Is that what God wanted us to learn, you know, get this point across to the rest of us out there? Who knows? I mean, look at some of the other actors that had drug overdose. It brought to the forefront of addiction and overdosing. So you don't know what the good Lord has up his sleeve to get his point across. And with these
but
icons...
But I know what it says in the Bible about suicide, too.
Yeah, well...
Shall not enter the kingdom of heaven, and that's just the way I believe. And, yes, there's been plenty of times I'm like, oh, my God, like, everything's bad and everything, you know. And especially when I was a teenager. Yeah, I tried a couple times.
Well,
so here, and no, I do not believe in suicide whatsoever.
Right. Yeah, and we
that's
all
like
have
a coward way out.
Yeah, we all have our beliefs and systems. I know that I've come across some spirits that did take their life, and when they communicated to us, they were one was in between. Was kind of like in, you know, what some people refer to as purgatory. They had to go through their life review, and they had to come to terms with what they did in their life in order to cross over to heaven.
Yeah.
And I also talked to one that was in heaven. So I don't necessarily believe verbatim everything in that Bible. If you do it this way, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe
you're right.
Because I believe, here's the reason why, and just to go into it just a tad. The reason why I don't believe it verbatim is the translation that we have in English was translated from Hebrew. And the Hebrew was written by a man, right? Was written by multiple men, the apostles. So
a prophet.
Yeah, so... How do we know that in all that translation, the passing down, that some of it got changed, bumbled up? I mean, you don't know for sure. Verbatim, what we read in the Bible is exactly what we're supposed to know, Or are we supposed to read between the lines and come up with our own thought process through it? I don't know. See, that's a huge debate.
Suicide. I mean, I think whoever you believe in, God, Allah, whatever your being is, do you think he would really want you to kill yourself? I mean, isn't that his decision? You know what
no.
I'm saying? When your time
also,
comes, it's your time.
But I also think that God is a very forgiving God, and you may not necessarily get
amen.
A ticket. You can't necessarily get a ticket straight where everybody else is. You might
mm-hmm.
be on you might be in another, what I would say, category, another part of heaven where you're trying to heal yourself, heal your soul, your spirit, in order to get full access. That's just part of the debate out there. We don't really know, you know. So for me as a human being to judge Robin Williams on what he did.
Us as human beings, we do not know. We're just walking around like, okay, what's supposed to happen?
And just to remind everybody out there, we're one of our flaws as human beings is we jump to conclusions and we judge way too quickly. I'm telling all of you right now, you don't like what Robin did or this, that, and other, it's not for us to judge how he passed. Between him and God. That's between him and God now. For us as humans, instead of getting mad or, you know, this, that, and other, that's the point of what we're trying to do with the show tonight is we're going to celebrate what he's left us, what he did when he was here, because just what me and Melissa were talking about earlier, Tasha.
I mean, he was a comedian. Oh, my God. I mean, that's where I get a lot of my stuff from, was from him.
Yeah.
I don't care how messed up he sounded sometimes. I mean, I know he sounded crazy, like some of that stuff you played earlier on the show, but I was like, amen. I get it.
Oh, I got some more. Don't worry. I got plenty tonight to make us laugh.
Oh, quiet. I need to hear some of that.
But what's weird about some of the stuff that I found was it kind of goes with death, this, that, and other, but on the humor side. And also goes into addiction, alcoholism, all that kind of stuff. Because Robin was very open with what he didn't try to hide it.
He came out a few months ago that he had went back to alcoholism. He took one drink of whiskey from, I guess he was hanging out with some friends or something, and then he went back to drinking really bad, and I don't know what else he did after that, but, I mean, damn, to hang yourself, though.
Yeah.
That's what trips me out. And he tried to slit his wrist, too.
Well, that's what everybody's assuming. I don't know.
Well, the coroner's already said it.
Yeah. But I've seen different reports, so I don't know. The way I look at it, he's on another plane now, and whatever judgment is going to be upon him, that's between him and God, and it's not our place to judge it. What we need to do, though, is learn from this and, you talk to one another.
I mean, I'm not saying, like, anybody, hey, go kill yourself, but, you know, this stuff can happen with people with depression and bipolar disorder and stuff like that. I wanted to get that out tonight about mental illness, for real.
Yeah. Like I said, I had a friend that was a great friend, and he was a real funny guy, and he went home one night and took a shotgun to his head. So, you know, it's just...
Oh, God.
It's sad when stuff like that happens. So I try to take situations like this and try to shed light on the more positive sides because, you know, there's so much negativity in the world right now. Oh, my God. All the stuff going on.
Come on from that, but I'm going to shine the light on mental illness just for a minute.
Go for it.
You know, people... I think they say 1 in 4 people that walk around the world have clinical depression. Most of them don't get treatment. Even if you do get treatment, it's not going to work effectively. That's just how we are. I mean, I've got it. I'm bipolar. I'll admit it. I love not being on medication because that stuff will mess you up.
Yeah.
And they always got a stigma with that, you know, like with mental illness and the public, oh, God, oh, she's bipolar. And I'm like, well, so what? I graduated, like, second in my class, and I've got a 145 IQ. Okay. Next question. I'm serious. I really do.
Yeah.
And honestly, it scares me to be so smart sometimes. I'm like, oh, my God. And my daughter's the same way. I mean, I hate to say this about my daughter online, but I think, well, I already know she's got depression, but, yeah, she's got that big IQ going on, Albert Einstein thing.
Nice.
And you're just like, and then nobody will listen to you. And I kind of get it with Robin Williams. I don't know what his IQ was, but it doesn't matter. He was very smart to me. And, you know, I mean, like, everybody looked at him, oh, yeah, he's funny. Yeah, but then he dies from depression and all that. But let's see how smart he really was. His IQ, I just wish I knew that.
Yeah. Melissa, you got anything to throw out there, what we've been talking about?
Yeah, I definitely believe the way, I mean, you got to think about how life for us now is very stressful on this earth. I mean, we're working our butts off, and it's just like nobody can ever catch up on their bills no matter how hard you work or how many jobs you work.
Amen.
And after a while, it can kind of take a toll on you.
And, yeah, I mean, but he had all that money, though.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He had the money to pay the bills. Like, if I had that money, I'd be like, okay, I'm going out somewhere. I'll be all right.
Yeah.
That's not even fair, though, honestly. That was God's plan.
I'm back.
Oh,
okay,
thanks.
I was wondering what happened.
I saw a caller pop up. So while you were talking, I went into the screen mode. I don't know if y'all logged into the studio to see it, but yeah,
I haven't.
So we have Ryan from the Debunker Boys calling in. To chime in on the conversation, so hang tight.
Uh-oh.
Ryan!
Hey, what was that uh-oh? Oh, come on, I'm not that bad. Well, yeah, I was
yes,
like,
it is that bad.
The celebrity that I actually cried when I found out he was dead was Michael Jackson. But Robin Williams is right up there. You know, it's really a shocker, you know. It's always the people you don't expect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But,
and you notice that with, like, famous people. I can name, well, Whitney Houston. That's a little different story. But Amy Winehouse,
yeah.
Kurt Cobain, Michael Jackson. Yeah. What is it with famous people?
Well,
because they can't handle
the
fame.
Well, when you pump enough drugs into yourself to kill a horse, you know, your time is coming. Your ticker's running short.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
we don't
really know at this point because they haven't, you know, the toxicology hasn't come back. We don't know if he was sober when he did this or if it was alcohol or drug induced. As well.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I find it quite ironic when they said death by asphyxiation and they're suspecting that he was involved with autoerotic asphyxiation. why that's ironic is, have you guys seen the movie World's Greatest Dad?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, that's how his son dies in the movie.
Yes.
But it's just really weird. I know from a personal experience, you know, it's always the last people you think of. When I was in the Army, I had a good friend. She had just had her second child. The child was about 5 months old. Her husband had just come back from Afghanistan with severe PTSD issues. She was suffering from postpartum depression. But besides that, she was the happiest person, the most motivated person, always working hard. She was about to get promoted to E5. And, you know, and then one day we just come into the clinic, and there were some civilians there, and they sat us all down. We made sure to keep all of our patients outside. They sat us all down, and they told us, you know, she took her own life. And, you know, it was such a shocker. None of us believed it. Like, we still believe, we were waiting for the punchline, and we were waiting for her to walk in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really a shocker. It's that one thing that just triggers that need to just end it all.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And so, I mean, I don't know. It's just one, like I said, with my generation, Melissa, and I know Tasha's not. Well, you're younger than I am.
I'm 34. I'll put that out. I'm
34. Tasha, yeah. you're 34.
Yes, I swear to God, March 2nd, 1980.
Wow. Do you know the term MILF? I'm kidding.
No, not going there right now. I think I went and what is that word? Celibacy or something like it? Yeah. So I won't find myself again. Shit.
But what I'm saying is with our generation, this is somebody that we grew up watching. They've been on television, movies, our whole lives, you know?
And that's pretty much what I'm going through right now. I mean, I ain't trying to brag or nothing, but it actually pisses me off in one way, because every morning I wake up, I'm like, oh, my God, I've got this phone call, this email from, I mean, like, somebody from the Travel Channel, all these different shows trying to contact me. And I'm like, oh, wait, I wanted to be famous, but then now I'm like, oh, hell no. Leave me alone.
Yeah. But with Robin
but
Williams,
like, can you come investigate my house? And I'm like, well, I mean, I can, but I really don't like to deal with evil spirits.
Nobody does.
Kevin, you know what I'm talking about. We talked about Bobby Mackey's. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I have my doubts about Bobby Mackey's. Actually, Robert and I are trying to get in there, you know, and do it DeBonnie Boy style.
Oh, God. Yeah, I was going to do that this summer. I promised 30 people I was going to get in there and do a big tour and all that overnight. And I said, nope, don't do it.
We have a very, very strong suspicion that it's poked.
No. I'm like, no.
But yeah, back on the Robin Williams thing, there's that one stand-up that he did that there's this one part where he talks about having a drug problem. He's like, there's all these drugs. There's this drug called Free Basin. It's not free. It costs you your home. It should be called Home Basin. And he goes, if you want to get really messed up, just take all your assets, put them on the floor, light them on fire, and go, whoo, I'm getting loaded now. And the thing about cocaine, he goes, if you find that you may have a cocaine problem, he goes, if you look on your tax statement and it says $50,000 for snacks, warning. If you come home, all your if you come home and all your furniture is gone and your cat's like, I'm out of here, prick. Mayday.
Your cat. He's like, meow,
well, speaking,
bye.
Speaking of stand-up, I got another clip from Robin. I got lots of clips, actually, but this one's about 3 minutes, so we're going to do some more laughing here.
All right, roll it.
Rolling now.
I'm fine now. I'm a reformed alcoholic. I feel so much better about myself. I am fine. No, you have that double vodka. I'll be over in the corner kicking the cat. I realized when I became a reformed alcoholic, I said, hey, I'm the same asshole. I just have fewer dents in my car. And then there are your friends who smoke marijuana going, John, man, alcohol's a crutch. Really? Really, Captain Herbalife? Really? God, you just macrame'd your ass into the couch and you're giving me shit? Remember when you get so stoned you can actually see a fly in face going, mm. And when you get stoned, your discretion goes out the window. You could be eating kitty litter going, mm, this is crunchy, man. And this horrible thing is people who get stoned try and get their animals stoned to make them feel better. It's not bad enough that you proved that Darwin was wrong. You're going to take the whole family with you. Here's your dog going, please don't do this to me. I've just learned to lick my own genitals. Leave me alone. Don't do this to me. And you're inside stone going, oh, God, help me now. And the next thing is you start to get hungry. You think you can leave the house. You liar. You think, I'm going to be fine, man. I've got to leave the house. I'm going to be okay. If you could just find your goddamn feet, yeah, you'll be okay. Then you think you can drive. You think, yeah, I'll be okay. I'll drive. I'll be okay. And you have one of those new Japanese cars where you open the door and it goes, your door is open. And if you're stoned, you're going, I knew that. So you get in the car. You think, yes, I've got it. I'm the keys. Okay, fine. The keys, fine. Okay, reverse. Fine. Okay. Then you're going down the freeway. You think you're traveling at light speed. You think Scotty's sitting next to you going, Jim, you can't push it any faster. It's just a Chevrolet, Jim. Don't drive it over the edge. Ha, 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 ha. Your hair's blowing in the wind, and the window isn't even open. Ha, ha, ha. You're that stone. You turn on the radio. You understand everything. Yeah. Suddenly on the radio, man stoned on freeway. How do they know? God damn it. I'm fine. Suddenly in the rearview mirror, red, white, and blue. How patriotic. Yeah. Get the police. Eat everything in the ashtray. Oh, God. Oh, pull it over. All of a sudden, you start rehearsing. What seems to be the problem, officer? I'm fine. What seems to be the problem? Nice day, officer. What seems to be the problem? Usually, you're stopped by a motorcycle cop. He gets off his bike like, God, am I incredibly well endowed. I'll get your door. There you go. From inside your car comes this Colombian sauna, like, suddenly he's going, I'm hungry, I don't know why. You're looking at him, you've rehearsed your line, what seems to be the problem? You look at him and go, as you look at him, his face turns into a cheeseburger. You lunge!
All right. We're back.
I'm still
up. Oh, I mean, Harley Moss.
Man, that's funny as hell.
The one thing he didn't hit on is the paranoia that comes along with it. Like, did you hear that?
I even got one where he did. There's a stand-up where he was talking about the Vatican, and it's hilarious. So we got some more to play, but we'll talk for a few more minutes here before we do another one. Plus, I got his. I got a couple other small clips. I actually got one that was made yesterday from the, you know, in Hollywood, they were doing the premiere of the new Expendables movie that's coming out. And, of course, his Hollywood square is out there, and so they had it all blocked off so people couldn't really get to it to put flowers out and whatnot. But I got a clip from the actors in Expendables, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Wesley Snipes, Antonio Banderas, Mel Gibson, they all commented, so I have that as well. Plus, I got some quotes from movies. I got a very famous speech that was made in Dead Poets Society by Robin, and then another one from Good Will Hunting. And I also have the clip that's multiple clips from the best moments of Good Morning Vietnam. So, got plenty of stuff to play tonight.
All right.
Lots
Rocket.
Of
you know, Robin talks about getting high so much. You gotta wonder if this guy's actually tried them or if he's just making fun of the people. You know.
Well, he was open about his cocaine addiction. He said, other actors have millions of dollars. I snorted all mine. You know. So,
Well, I'll never forget this one time.
Made it happen.
me and my friends used to sit around smoking, and one time I thought I had died and I was a ghost. It was really, really strange. I thought I was dead and I was a ghost because nobody was listening to me. And I don't know if you guys have ever, you know, touched the Jamaican grass, but you come up with some crazy theories on that stuff.
I was going to say, I mean, I smoked that Jamaican stuff, and it will make you feel like you're dead, but you come right back to life.
You come up with some crazy theories. Me and my friends were actually sitting around talking, and we're like, hey, man, the sun is made up of a big ball of burning gas, right, man? How does it stay burning because there's no oxygen in space? Where does the gas come from and stuff like that? We're just going on, and we're like, man, we might have something. Maybe we should call some scientists. Yeah, but not tonight.
I was going to say, like, where was that in, like, science class in high school? But whatever. Go ahead.
Well, I got a couple clips here. I'm going to play Arnold Schwarzenegger and the rest of the guys I'm going to play what they commented on Robin's passing last night at the screening of Expendables. Then I'm going to go into another comedy bit from Robin. So hang tight, everybody.
All right.
I can only say that we are all celebrating here the premiere of Expendables, but at the same time, we are mourning the loss of such a great man.
The thing that struck me about him was he had a great heart. He was very compassionate, but he was also like a benchmark in what he did. He did what he did the best. And he set a very high benchmark for people to follow.
But I had a chance to work with him, so I saw him up close and personal. And wow. Matter of fact, we hung out a couple of times. I even went to eat at his house with the dinner with him a couple of times. And it was a blast.
The world has lost one of his biggest stars for decades. This guy entertained a lot of people all around the world. He was a great comedian. And to make people laugh in our days is a serious business. Just condolences to the family members and friends.
Aladdin, Dead Poets Society, Mork and Mindy. I mean, there's just too many to name. I love Robin on the Richard Pryor show. Way back, the four episodes of the Richard Pryor show that Robin Williams was on.
Want a linguistic adventure? Go drinking with a Scotsman. Because you can't fucking understand them before. You land in Scotland and they're going, "Till keep any feel like." Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, you think, eh?
Fuck you, it's not like burning the bullets, that's it, right? There's something you think of it. Sure. Oh, fuck, sure, eh? Man, you never thought like backside that seat, your ass on the floor, it came, eh? Sure. Oh, sure, you dumb fucking bastard.
you realize that, eh? And you realize how drunk they get. They could wear a skirt and not dance. And how they could invent a sport like golf. Here's my idea for a fucking sport. I knock a ball in a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like pool?
Fuck off, pool. Not with a straight stick, with a little fucked up stick. I whack the ball that goes in a gopher hole.
Oh, you mean like croquet?
Fuck croquet. I put the hole hundreds of yards away. Oh, fuck out of here. It's great fun there. Oh, yeah, that's a great thing.
Oh, like a bowling thing.
Fuck no. Not straight. I put shit in the way. Like trees and bushes and high grass. So you can lose your fucking ball and go whacking away with a fucking tire iron. Whacking away, and each time you miss, you feel like you're gonna have a stroke. Fuck, that's what we'll call it. A stroke, because every time you miss, you feel like you're gonna fucking die. Oh, great. Oh, and here's a bit of fat. Oh, fuck, this is brilliant. Right near the end, I'll put a flat piece with a little flag to give you fucking hope. But then I'll put a pool and a sandbox to fuck with your ball again. Ah, you'll be there thrashing your ass, jerking away in the sand.
And you do this one time.
Fuck no. 18 fucking times.
The manly sport of golf, where you can dress like a pimp and no one will care. Where you can wear clothes that even a blind gay man would go, oh, dear Christ. Those are loud. This is not carnival. What the fuck are you on? Even the alligator's going, asshole. And you get in the, it's such an exciting athletic sport, too. Whack the ball, get in the cart. Whack the ball, get in the cart. And the commentary's electrifying. Just this side of curling for really getting me going.
I'm on the third green now. Could people be quieter? I'd like to hear the grass grow.
I want the guy who does Mexican soccer to do golf one time. The ball is running. The ball is going to the... See all those old waspy motherfuckers go, oh dear Christ. My God, they're not gardening, they're playing now. Oh shit. What the hell are we going to do? Because that was their last domain of dominance. It was their area. They were the king up until Tiger. Yeah. Son of a black man and a Thai woman. Not even a German geneticist could have thought that one up. Black athletic ability. Buddhist concentration. Shitai! Budai! Crouching putter! And then he goes to the British Open and he plays at St. Andrews, where they fucking invented the sport. And after the fourth round, he's 18 under par, and there's only 18 fucking holes. And all the old men are going, oh my God, we're doomed! How did he learn to play? We wouldn't let him join. Dear God! And they start having nightmares of golf carts going, yo, 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 I'm playing through, whether you're a Gentile or a Jew. Pebble Beach, motherfucker. Sandy.
We don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are members of the human race. And the human race is filled with passion. Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we stay alive for. It's a quote from Whitman. O me, O life of the questions of these recurring, of the endless trains of the faithless, of cities filled with the foolish. What good amid these, O me, O life? Answer, that you are here, that life exists and identity, that the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. That the powerful play goes on and you may contribute a verse. What will your verse be?
All right, and we're back. That was a clip from Dead Poets Society there at the end.
God, right. It's weird hearing his voice again.
Yeah, it is. Did you ever watch Jumanji?
Oh, yeah. Last night we watched all the movies that had Robin Williams in it on Netflix.
Wait. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's kind of like, I hate to bring it up, like when Michael Jackson died, I was a nurse working at a nursing home, and all these old ladies coming around, they're like, you know what, Michael Jackson just died. And I was like, no, I don't believe that, but yeah, it was the truth, same as today. Well, actually yesterday, but.
Yeah.
Right.
I was in Iraq.
Totally get it. And now Iraq is, like, threatening to, like, bomb the U.S. now. What's that all about?
Isn't it amazing? Like, when we were there, I was there in from December 08 to November of 09. And our entire job was training the Iraqis, the Iraqi army and the Iraqi police to do their own fucking job. And oh my God, these guys, I'm not making this up either. We were trying to train them how to stop, you know, bleeds and everything, stop arterial bleeds.
Yeah.
And one of the bleeds, like the largest artery that is in the body, is the femoral artery that runs right down your leg. And so we're trying to teach them how to do an inguinal dressing, which is right in the crease in between your crotch and your thigh. And we're sitting there showing them how to do it, and they're just literally sitting there laughing at each other, like flicking each other's penises. They didn't care. All they were on our base to do is eat all of our food. That's all they cared about. None of them could, you know, the safest place is in front of an Iraqi's AK-47 because they couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if they were standing right in front of it. But as we were getting ready to leave, we kept saying, you know, we're going to pull out of here and it's just going to go right back to the way it was. And, sure enough, look what's happening. They're killing each other. And you know what? Because we're getting involved, now they're pissed off at us and saying they're going to attack us. We just left them alone and let them kill each other.
Thank you.
Fine.
Be done.
It's not even right.
I mean, we lost well over 2,000 American soldiers in Iraq. And honestly, I believe most of them died in vain. You know, I took care of a lot of soldiers over there, and I honestly can say, what was the point of us being over there for so long? There was no point.
Like, I mean, I'm not trying to bring this in as a psychic medium, but yeah, I am. Bodies, like, everywhere that you've seen, just laying. I mean, I'm not talking about just dying, but like, oh my God, can you help me? Some of them lived, some of them died. No?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, you know, people talk about, you know, seeing the moment that, like, you know, somebody, like, actually dies and everything. And I was right there for about 8 of them. And you know, it impacts you. You know, you have dreams about it for a long time, but, you know, that's what we're trained to do. That's what we did. And, you know, it's just one of them things.
Oh, God, it like took me over here. But you've got that feeling, though, as a human. How did you feel when they were sitting there dying in front of you? Because I can sit here and feel it as a psychic.
Well, when you're taking care of them, because they were on our, like, they would come off a mission, you know, a convoy would come in with the casualty. There were a couple of them that were already dead when they came in, but like I said, there was like 7 or 8 of them that came in that was still alive, technically. And they're hooked up to our vitals machine, and we're constantly monitoring them. We put an airway in, and you know that you got the mechanical where you're breathing for them, and you're doing chest compressions, but you know they're dead and everything, and it's just like you see the body, like the body comes in already pale, the person already comes in pretty pale because they've lost a lot of blood and everything, but you just see the rest of it go, and it's just, I don't know, you don't really think about it when you're doing it. Because you're just focused on doing your job right then and there. It's not till afterwards and you're kind of cleaning up all the tissue and all the blood and everything that you really think about it. You're like, fuck, that guy just died right in front of me. But,
I wasn't in the military, but like I said, like, you know, I worked at a nursing home. I was a nurse, and I watched people take their last breath right in front of me. And it's been like 10 years ago. And I still cannot get over that.
Yeah.
I can't.
The worst thing about it is, I would have to say the guilt. You have this irrational guilt that there was something else you could do, even though you know in every part of your body that there was nothing more you could do. You still feel
this guilt.
Oh, you
can't do it at all. No, I know. I get it. Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's another thing about Robin Williams. Robin Williams came to Kuwait multiple times on his, you know, he did it for free. Came over and did a show for the troops. And I remember there was one video where he was doing a show for the troops right there in Kuwait. And it was actually the base that I was at. I wasn't there when he did it, but he was in the middle of doing his stand-up, and all of a sudden, retreat started going where they lower the flag and they play, and every one of them soldiers stopped laughing at Robin Williams, turned around and started saluting the flag, and Robin Williams is standing there like, what the fuck? and after that. And after that happened, he goes, man, that is the first time in my career that I've been, you know, in the middle of doing a show, and all of a sudden everybody turns their back on me. And he started talking about, you know, what?
Go ahead, Ryan, finish your story.
He was just talking about, you know, he started making jokes. He's like, that's called retreat. He goes, what happens, you know, the bombs start falling, get the fuck out of here, and it was really funny. But he did a lot of shows for the troops on his own dollar, and, you know, God bless that guy.
And speaking of, we're going to go into another stand-up segment, so get ready to laugh your ass off again.
But for me, I'm very excited because this is my time when I was watching World Cup soccer, my man. I saw World Cup, baby. No. A few soccer fans, the rest of you are going,
oh, that's like football without pads, right?
For the rest of the world, it's football. For us, it's like
a strange sport played by damaged people.
Well, we made it in the World Cup. Everybody plays it. Not like the World Series, because the French don't have a baseball team. If they did, they would only have left field, and no one would be safe.
You know what I'm saying? What can you do, hein? It is Bastille Day, alors! Allons-y de la patrie! The day that Marie Antoinette gave the ultimate head. Look out! Ah! We are French. Fuck you, Americans. I don't care. My friend is in right now. My Lance Armstrong is in France, racing in the Tour de France. He is right now. And every year the French go, he is on chemicals. I'm going, it's chemotherapy, you little toad sucker. Okay, he has one testicle. He's aerodynamic. Everybody cut off your balls. You'll be quicker. Do it. Don't be afraid, eh? Because, you know, when you look at the World Cup, America finally made it. We made it to the 16, baby. Woo! Got them right? Lord, yeah. We're no longer in the Special Olympics category. They used to see us coming going, oh, give it to them, they're damaged people. Thank you for the ball. I got a ball. I shoot the ball. Unlike the Brazilians, man, when the Brazilians play, it's like bang, bang, dum, bang, 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 bang. Bang, bang, bang. And the fans are like, bang, 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 bang. Brazilians going, look, I'm playing soccer, okay? Look, I'm scoring. And now I'm kicking the ball. Because soccer's kind of mellow. You know, it's a little passive-aggressive, though, when you got that thing of like, I didn't do anything. What are you looking at? It's not like hockey where someone comes up with a stick and goes, bam, motherfucker. That's why there are no Spanish hockey players, because the first time a white guy takes a stick and goes, bleh, motherfucker, I'm going to cut you off now. And you, Freddy Krueger, bitch, take off the mask, motherfucker. Coming in there, goddammit. But like soccer, sometimes guys that do this weird thing, they'll fall down and pretend like, oh, shit, I'm fucking, I've been killed, I've been blinded. Oh, there's nobody near me, huh? Okay, I'm kidding. And the referee comes over, yellow card. Two yellow cards. Red card. Hold on. Three cards. Green card. And the referee is so sweet, too. He's kind of like, okay, what's your name? Turn around. What's your fucking name? Why didn't you call me after the Mexico game? But it's weird. The Vatican and homosexuality, oil, water. The Pope is always, homosexuality is an abomination. Time out. You're the Pope? Yes. You're dressed like Freddie Mercury's stunt double. Your purse is on fire and you're surrounded by hundreds of boys and you've had kind of a problem in the after-school area. And why is there a problem with pedophilia in the Catholic Church? Well, it's a big deal. You become a priest, retire this, and once a week, we're going to put you in a small, dark box and people are going to tell you their nastiest sexual shit. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Yes, my son. Last night I had sex with two Thai twins, a slip and slide, a diving helmet, and a ferret. Could you say that slower, my son? And I believe the Vatican's going to come out one day and come out big. It's going to be in nomine patri and filio spirito sancto, one secular sensation, all the folks you meet, da-da-da-da-da-da, one singular salvation, everyone on the street, da-da-da-da-da. And there still will be the evangelicals going, homosexuality is a sickness, and this same reverend will be caught buying crack from a gay prostitute going, we were just playing tummy sorts. And then he'll deny it going, I did not perform a homosexual act. No, you didn't. Elton John's homosexual act. You just blew that guy. It's okay. And this reverend went to rehab for homosexuality. I'm going, I was in rehab. I didn't see that wing. There was no cockenders in my rehab. And is homosexuality a pre-existing condition? What the fuck? And the other people that come out against the whole thing are the Mormons. They came out against gay marriage big time. And with gay marriage, you couldn't even say gay marriage in California. You couldn't call it gay marriage. It was like, what do we call it? We'll call it same-sex marriage. And people who have been married for a long time are going, that's a little redundant. If you've been married a long time, it's always the same sex. Shut the fuck up. What? And then they said, we'll call it a union. Then the union guys get pissed going, it's not a fucking union. It's not local cocksucker's number 69. And you're going, wait a minute, Canada has gay marriage. Do you want all the gay people to immigrate to Canada? Then they'll win figure skating for the next 200 years. No! They're already the nicest people on the planet. You want them to be the best dressed? That's bullshit! And the whole thing, and we talked briefly about this before, the other people that come out against gay marriage were the Mormons. Basically, the Mormons, the people who used to be polygamy, they used to perfect polygamy. But a Mormon giving marital advice is like the Octomom running a Planned Parenthood clinic. And if the answer to who's your daddy is multiple choice, come with me, my friend. And who thought polygamy was a great idea? Who got married and went, my one marriage isn't going so bad. I'd like to double down. Fuck off, man. And if you even, why would you want another strong opinion? Even if you marry a deaf and a blind girl, they will fucking communicate. And they will work out that you are the asshole. And in marriage, I've learned this. In marriage, there's penalties for early withdrawal and depositing in another account. Remember that.
And the Oscar goes to Robin Williams and Goodwill Hunting.
Thank you. Oh, man. This might be the one time I'm speechless. Oh, thank you so much for this incredible honor. Thank you for putting me in a category with these four extraordinary men. Thank you, Ben and Matt. I still want to see some ID. Thank you, Gus Van Sant, for being so subtle you're almost subliminal. I want to thank the cast and crew, especially the people of South Boston. You're a can of corn. You're the best. I want to thank the Mishpucha Weinstein, Mazel Tov. I want to thank Marcia for being the woman who lights my soul on fire every morning. God bless you. And most of all, I want to thank my father up there, the man who, when I said I wanted to be an actor, he said, wonderful, just have a backup profession like welding. Thank you. God bless you.
And we're back. Did y'all get some laughs?
Oh, yeah, especially the ferret one. That was quite funny.
I got a couple laughs, but I'm thinking more spiritual now, the way he was talking. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
He just, like, talked about God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I think that's
mm-hmm.
it. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I don't know. He might have been on medications and wasn't thinking clearly, or he could have been, you know, maybe alcohol played a effect. You just don't know. He probably just wasn't thinking clearly.
Well, he's already been in rehab for, like, a couple of years, though. I mean, we already know he's that.
Yeah, but he went back into rehab
in
this last month. He had been sober for 20 years and lost his sobriety and then went back last month.
Yeah, he
like
took one. That's what it was. And he got right back to it.
And, you know, we don't know from the toxicology report if he was under the influence of anything, which I can tell you when I was a big drinker and partier back in my college days, there was times, depending on what was going on in my life at the time, that the drunker I got, the more depressed and more making stupid mistakes and decisions. So
yeah.
I'm trying to justify what he did was right or wrong, but when you do get under the influence of something, it can cloud your mind. Now, he could be completely sober. The toxicology report could come back that he was clean, right? So we don't really know right now.
Okay. I'm sure as soon as they find out, they will tell everybody. So. Okay,
yeah.
I just know what happened.
But, what, I asked this to Melissa already. Tasha, what was one of your, or a couple of your favorite movies that, that Robin did?
Of course, Jumanji. I love that movie.
That's a good
one. I don't know why. Animals. But, and then he did the voiceover in Aladdin.
Uh-huh.
So I know he did, like, Mork and Mindy and all that stuff, but, I mean, I like comedy and cartoons. That's just me. My favorite things, though. I mean, seriously, I'm not going to get there and be all serious about stuff all the time. Damn, I'd like to live without worrying.
Right. Oh, we all do. There was something, let's see. Here's a very short clip from, I also got some interviews with Robin. Here's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, if it'll play. Now my internet's starting to...
You don't like me. If it'll play.
It's always been a wonderful kind of alternative to the acting because it was it did two things, pay the bills and also great therapy.
Therapy.
Yeah, literally. I mean, to be able to talk about things that was, you know, whether things going on in my life, going on in the world, it was always kind of a great release. Especially like in the early days with Mork on, it was kind of the anti-Mork. I could do something that was slightly darker and funnier and crazier, and people go, oh, so I wouldn't just be stuck going, hi, how are you? I mean, so I can actually do something, I mean,
yeah.
Totally different, which was great.
How is it different today than it was when you began? On the street corner of San Francisco.
I actually began doing mime in New York, which is kind of crazy. I mean, I was going to Juilliard studying acting, and I would do street performing mime in front of the Metropolitan Museum. And the scariest people in the world were the ladies of Madison Avenue. When you'd imitate them, they'd go, get the hell away from me. This is before Botox, where their faces are just frozen, like, get away from me. And even the animals that they're wearing, going, get away, she'll hurt you. But it was always this kind of thing of performing was, get out and do it. It was that release for me.
Yeah. And but you did you find instant response?
Oh, well, yeah. With comedy, I think because you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's very little stand-up tragedy.
yes, but in certain people,
it took a while. I mean, I started off, because I was also trained in the theater, I could go off mic, which is my style. So a lot of times people need the mic and be kind of, and I'd be like all over the place. But that was my attack style. And I'd go for it. And yeah, it seemed to be working right off the bat.
But did the training you had at Juilliard help?
Oh, big time. I think it allowed me to do two Jews walk into a bar. It could happen. And yet, my gentle friend, that does pulse beneath me. What now, O throbbed one? Shakespearean porn.
Oh,
yes, don't go there.
Don't, please.
Depart you like a spring log. Nay, nay, say not so.
So what are you doing in Weapons of Destruction?
Self-destruction?
Self-destruction.
Talking about pretty much everything. Everything that's kind of happened, the heart surgery.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea of even the valves, they gave me the choice of getting, different valves. The porcine valve, which I said is wonderful. You're already inoculated for swine flu. And you can find truffles.
Yes.
And a bovine valve, which is great because you can crap standing up. You're more stubborn. But it is that weird.
And play in the dirt.
Play in the dirt. How are you doing? And college kids tip you over at night.
Yeah.
But and I thought, because after the heart surgery, you find yourself getting very emotional.
When
How did
that?
You get Mork?
I got it. It was kind of a fluke. Gary Marshall was inviting a lot of comics into audition, and I just went in and said, "Well,
were you a stand-up comic?"
Yeah, big time. With and it was an open call. Richard Lewis was going in, and he walked out saying, "I don't speak Norwegian." And I went, okay, so I just went in and went, "Well, let's be crazy and see what happens."
That was your own concept, that voice?
Well, the voice was like the kind of the helium, the idea of someone who's just like this, who's slightly damaged. And that's carried on until now.
Do you think that show would click?
No, not at all. They gave it the odds of the same odds as Gary Coleman in the NBA. I think it's the same odds, basically. And when it did, I think the only reason it clicked was that the studio and the executives would come in and they would see people laughing and then they went, oh, well, maybe it will work. And we went on, and because it was so freeform at that time, it was different than all the other situations.
You ad-libbed a lot of that.
Oh, huge. Yeah, you'd go off, and you had people who would, go with it, three cameras, good luck.
What's it like winning when you win an Oscar? What's that like for Good Will Hunting?
Because I'd lost three times before, it was a kind of a shock. I was always losing to people who didn't have a green card. You know, it was always. And the winner is an English actor who is not from here. And
you were nominated for Fisher King.
Fisher King.
Dead Poets Society.
Good Morning Vietnam.
Good Morning Vietnam, and won.
When I won, it's strange because they announce your name and everything goes into slow motion. You kind of, you get up and you look around and you see Madonna standing. And you look over and see Burt Reynolds going, you bastard. And it was like, and you look around and it's a very surreal thing.
I've done Shrek a couple times and I'm going to be a voice of my...
Oh, isn't
that
fun?
I'm a bee in the bee movie for Jerry Seinfeld.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Isn't it a blast?
But you were in Aladdin. You do voices, right?
Yeah, I've done. I was Aladdin. I've done Batty Coda. I was initially three penguins in Happy Feet, and then two. For me, it's the most fun. You see that? You just go in, and then when they draw you, did they draw a bee that looks like you?
I haven't seen the bee yet.
Go to line two, back at the hive. We're talking to the queen. You know, it's fun because then they draw you, and it's like, wow, dude, it's beautiful.
Are you? Politically involved, as we...
I'm an observer, yes, sir, as we say.
Supporting anyone yet?
Not yet. We're just going to wait till the dust clears. Right now, it's like Survivor with videotapes.
So will it be a Democrat?
Well, look at the South right now. If the major candidates are a black man and a white woman, and a lot of people in the South are going, I'll have a beer. They're kind of like, I know Barack. I've done benefits for him. I know Hillary. I've done benefits for her. Right now, they're kind of, you know, going at each other, and there's Al over here just kind of...
Al will be here.
Serious.
Night after tomorrow.
It's good. Just knock the hamburger out of his hand, you know, because he's getting a little big. You know, he's almost...
And we're back. That was a couple of clips from Robin being interviewed with Larry King and another interview that was back in 2009. So I had to throw those in there a little bit.
Ew, yuck. That's what I'm going to say about Obama.
Well, that's when I cut it off.
That's a start. Then mark that down. What are they going to do, arrest me? Well, probably tomorrow.
Kind of, watch this, Melissa. I'm going to get her worked up. Kind of like Zach Bagans.
I don't give a shit. You know, I think, what is it, the Constitution? Freedom of speech?
Yep.
Okay. Amen. So I can say what I want to. I don't like him.
What about Zach Bagans?
I think you now. No, I don't. But oh my God. Well, he is coming to Scarefest this year with me. That's gonna be a joy. When you just see him, I'm serious. Hair spiked up, glasses on. He looks like he's Chinese. He's like, man, I was there at Bobby Mackey's. I mean, he can name whatever. Yeah, I've been there and done that too.
Is that a creepy place?
No, I'm not going to put it out on radio, not the personal shit, but, yeah, I know him.
Mm.
Next question.
Melissa's, I don't know if you know this, Tasha, Melissa's over in Virginia.
Yeah.
Well, that's
Virginia
kind of
girl. Yeah.
Shit. Man, it's like a 4-hour drive, girl. Shit. Oh, wait. We can't cuss.
Oh, yeah, you can. Where the hell did you get that?
Get to put $1 in the cereal jar.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, all right? All right.
If you ever want to get Tasha stirred up, you just got to bring up either Obama or Zach Bagans.
Let
it roll.
My kids are starting school tomorrow. please leave them out because I cannot have no more nerves. No, no. Seriously.
Oh, man. Well, y'all are starting early. Go ahead and start it here yet.
Woman.
Yeah. About middle of August, end of August is when school starts here for everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they usually would end around the first week in June, I think. It depends on how much snow we get.
Right. There was something else I'm trying to find here. We'll play a little bit of, oh, God. I know all the jokes from this. If you ever watch Robin Williams live at the Met on HBO?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. You're in for a treat. Here we go.
Damn. A little sip of Perrier here. I had to stop drinking alcohol because I used to wake up nude and hood in my car with my keys in my ass. Not a good thing. Hi, can I help you? No, thanks. It's just flooded. I'll be okay. Beautiful, baby. Beautiful, yeah.
Because you're sucked into drinking beer by believing it's a healthy thing. All these beer commercials usually show big men, manly men doing manly things. You've just killed a small animal. It's time for a light beer.
Why not have a realistic beer commercial? What's a realistic thing about beer where you go, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. You've just pissed on a dumpster. It's Miller time.
Everything, because you realize the first purpose of alcohol is to make English your second goddamn language. Eventually, you may be quite fluent. You may be a Nobel Prize physicist. After my maybe 9, 10 Heinekens, you're going, Akara. You're speaking fluent drunkenese. Bravo. Next thing you know, you get a couple more beers, you've got a friend in a headlock going, I love you, little fucker, I love you. That's the kind of love I have for you, baby. God damn it. And you work your way beyond beer. You go beyond beer, you start into wine. For the very elegant people, a lot of people who are very elegant are in Montauk going, damn it, I wish I could have been there, but no, I'm not. Some people who have, I don't know whether they have the red wine with the fish or the chicken. What's the matter, asshole? They're dead. The chicken's not going to reach up from the plate and go, the red wine. It's over with. No, you know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about Fouifouse or Pussy. Uh-uh. I'm talking about Mad Dog 2020. You know, the very elegant wine, the type of wine with a lovely screw top, a bottle of which after you can actually see vapor trails as people pass you. How you doing? Well, you've gone too far, and you must pay your dues. This is why I had to give up alcohol, because you have to pay the next day. Pray, dear Lord, please don't hurt me now. There you are lying in bed, and you feel like the scene from the movie The Fly going, help me! Help me! The entire room is spinning like a roulette wheel. Place your bet. Place your bet. And there's the old toilet in the corner going, talk to me. And you try and walk slowly, but you feel like the elephant man in a car wash. There's things in front of you like the stuff that scares the water off cars. You can't do it. Even your dog's looking at you like, you wouldn't believe the shit you said to me last night. I had to back out of the room. I was that scared. You promised me an evening with Lassie, you lying bastard. Yes, you've got an alcoholic problem. You do. And the worst part is there are times when you drink so much, you don't remember what you've done the night before. And you get those little phone calls where people let you know. What? Yes? Yeah? Really? I took a dump in your tuba? Oh, my God, he said sit in with the band. I'm sorry. Oh, God, it's over. Oh, don't you see? It's all over. God damn it. And then the next thing you know, there you are at Betty Ford Hospital going, I'm fine now. I'm a reformed alcoholic. I feel so much better about myself. I am fine. No, you have that double vodka. I'll be over in the corner kicking the cat. I realized when I
Yeah, we're back. Oh, and I got to unmute Tasha. Hang on.
Hello?
Yeah, you are. All right. Got y'all on mute.
Matt,
okay,
yep.
So y'all didn't even hear me laugh. That's great.
That's why I'm muted, because I was laughing my ass off when you said,
Kim
talked
about kicking the cat in the corner. That was the funny thing to me. Mm-hmm. Kicking the cat in the corner. I'm like, yeah, I've done that, too. Yeah, I get it,
well,
Robin.
What he said, I had to give up alcohol because I kept waking up on the hood of my car butt naked with the key, my keys in my ass.
Yeah, that's about died on that one.
Actually, go into detail. I'm not going to give up her name, but... it's my grandmother. She ran over somebody and left them on the side of the road when she was 14 years old, stole the car, and then ran over somebody.
Wow.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And she still complains about that to this day. She's like, oh. And I'm like, well, you're the one that done it, not me. I ran over one cat one time in my lifetime.
Aww.
I didn't mean to. You know how they, you know, come out and try me? I was like, oh, God. I went and scraped it up. It's great. Okay, story. Y'all can talk some more.
when he said the best beer commercial is a guy at 5 o'clock in the morning pissing on a dumpster. It's Miller time. That's what I remember, those kind of things when I was in college.
Wow.
I could write a screenplay right now about my college experience, and it would make American Pie and all these other movies look like nothing.
Cute.
I mean, you would laugh your ass off every minute of the movie. That's how bad it was.
You should do it. You should write a book or something. There you go.
Really?
You should.
Yeah. Well, I might one of these days. The first book that if I do write one, the first book's going to be more geared towards, well, part of the book would be geared towards my position on the paranormal field.
The paranormal outlaw. I love the
backstabbing and the lying and all that I experienced over the years. So I'm going to give everybody out there that doesn't have a paranormal team or involved in the paranormal an insight to what it was really like, or in my years doing that. And then I'll get into, my theories and experiments that I want to share with people that I think they should do when they're investigating, But, yeah, screenplay on my college years. Yeah, it's crazy. In October, I'm going back to my old college for homecoming, and the movie Animal House, the fraternity. I actually joined the fraternity, and we made Animal House look like nothing, that movie. All the guys that pledged in the fraternity the same time I did, my pledge brothers, as we call them, we're having our 20-year reunion this fall. 20 years ago, we pledged this year. So... back in 94, that shows my age.
94?
So,
wow. That's when I graduated from high school.
Well, yeah.
All
while you were graduating
like
from high school, I was waking up. I remember one party I woke up in the front yard of my house, butt naked in the driveway. And there's a church across the street, and everybody was going to church, and I'm laying in the driveway butt naked, pass out.
Good thing they didn't have cell phones back then.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, they would have had a YouTube video of that. You would have been on Facebook everywhere.
All right.
Yeah, this was before social media and cell phones, so thank goodness for that.
I stole a bike from a church one time and I felt bad. So there we go. I get it. I stole a bike from a church. I clipped the chains and everything. You know the big wire cutter things? I know my country, but hell yeah, let's go. Yep, took it. And a Sunday night. Then somebody promised, so whatever.
Now I'm gonna play one more. Well, I got two clips left, but I'm gonna play one from Good Morning Vietnam, one of my favorite movies. And then we'll come back, talk for a bit, and then I'm gonna play it's kinda serious and kinda funny as well. It's one of Robin's last acceptance speeches. It was he got an Icon Award back in 2012 from Comedy Central, and that'll be the final clip that I'll play from Robin. Now I got to find Good Morning. Where the hell is the clip? I put them all together. I got so many. It's up here. There's that. There it is. Here we go. Okay, play.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Time to rock it from the Delta to the DMZ. Is that me or does that sound like an Elvis Presley movie? Viva Da Nang. Oh, Viva Da Nang. Da Nang me, why don't they get a rope and hang me? Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early. Speaking of early, how about that Cro-Magnon Marty Drywitz? Thank you, Marty, for silky smooth sound. Make me sound like Peggy Lee.
This is AFBN, rocking you from the Delta to the DMZ. AFBN, better than AFBD, which means you have to get a quick shot. We're moving on right now. Here's a riddle for you. What's the difference between the Army and the Cub Scouts? Cub Scouts don't have heavy artillery. Talking out the field today. Hi, what's your name?
Hey, Bob Beaver.
Bob, what do you do?
I'm in artillery.
Thank you, Bob. Can we play anything for you?
Anything. Just play it loud, okay?
And who gave anyone permission to program modern music?
Freddy and the Dreamers.
The wrong speed. We've got it on the wrong speed. For those of you who are recovering from a hangover, that's going to sound just right.
Let's pull it right back down together. Let's try it a little faster. See if that picks it up a little bit. Let's get up on 718. Those pilots are going right now. I really like the music. I really like the music. I really like the music. Oh, still a bad song.
Hey, wait a minute. Let's try something.
Let's play this backwards and see if it gets any better.
Look, there's Nevis. Freddy is the devil. Look, there's Nevis. Freddy is the devil.
Picture a man going on a journey beyond sight and sound. He's left Crete. He's entered the demilitarized zone.
All right. Hey, what is this demilitarized zone? What do they mean, police action?
Sounds like a couple of cops in Brooklyn going, no, she looks pretty to me. Hey, whatever it is, I like it because it gets you on your toes better than a strong cup of cappuccino.
What is a demilitarized zone? Sounds like something out of the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, no, don't go in there.
Oh, hee-ho, Ho Chi Minh.
Oh, look, you've landed in Saigon. You're among the little people now.
We represent the Arvan Army, the Arvan Army. Oh, no, follow the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Follow the Ho Chi Minh Trail.
Oh, I'll get you, my pretty! Oh, my God, it's the Wicked Witch of the North. It's Hanoi Hannah!
Now, little G.I., you and your little toodoo, too!
Adrian, what are you doing, Adrian?
Oh, Hannah, you slut. You've been on everything but the Titanic. Stop it right now. Hey, hi, can you help me? What's your name? My name's Roosevelt Lee Roosevelt. Roosevelt, what town are you stationed in? I'm stationed in Poon Tang. Well, thank you, Roosevelt. What's the weather like out there? It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot. Hot as this is my shorts. I can cook things in it. Little crotch pot cooking. Well, can you tell me what it feels like? Fool, well, it's hot. I told you again. Were you born on the sun? It's damn hot. You can be a little thing. I saw it so damn hot. I saw one of those little guys in the orange robe burst into flames. It's that hot. You know what I'm talking about. What do you think it's going to be like tonight? It's going to be hot and wet. That's nice if you're with a lady, but it ain't no good if you're in the jungle.
Something real special right now. We've got our traffic report up there on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. How's it going up there?
Well, Adrian, it's not going exactly well. There's a water buffalo jackknife up there. It's not a very pretty picture. There's horns everywhere. I don't know what to say. We're going to maybe drop in a little napalm there and try and cook him down, maybe a little barbecue.
Thank you for that lovely tune. That funky music will drive us till the dawn. Let's go, let's boogaloo till we puke.
Right. Any movement on the water bed and thing?
No, and it doesn't look good to me.
It looks good to me. Bobby Barbier, best beer in Vietnam.
Bobby Barbier, only beer in Vietnam.
I work for a living, Airman. You will address me as Sergeant Major Dickerson.
Yes, Sergeant Major Dickerson. He reminds me a lot.
And we're back.
God, what happened to you?
Huh?
No, I thought, what happened to you?
To who?
Never mind.
Oh, jeez.
Cool song. I'm supposed to learn, I'm really into music, so. Actually, my grandmother wanted me to play some song online, but I can't find it. Outlaw Prayer? Have you ever heard that?
No, never have.
If somebody can find that, please play it for my grandmother, because she is dying right now.
Oh, man. Well, we've had a good show tonight. Had a lot of laughs.
Yeah.
Got into some discussions. We can put this to rest, per se. On our show.
Go to sleep. It's over.
No. see, Melissa, I told you Tasha is a great gal. She's very funny. And we're glad to have her.
Yep.
Here.
Like it, Jim. Oh, my God, speaking of, I just got an email. I mean, it's constant, though, with this stuff. I wish you guys could come to Scarefest, though, seriously.
What's Anna?
I wish.
I'm just curious.
Damn.
Where is Scarefest this year?
Lexington, Kentucky, September 12th to the 14th. I will be there all 3 days that weekend. Seriously. Oh, my God, like 200,000 people are supposed to come through there. I'm like,
that's a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. Like, I ain't already got depression and shit. Robin Williams.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, you know. All we can do is move forward and just enjoy what the man has left us to watch and listen, like tonight. You
Amen.
Can always listen to his stand-up. It always brings a smile to my face. And that's the way life goes, you know. The longer you live, the more people that you've known on television and movies. We'll pass. Or listen to music, you know?
Well, not even that. Like, family, too.
That's it.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just part of the cycle. We know that,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
But hopefully, hopefully if you guys have any ideas of folks to bring on the show, just hit me up and let me know. as I've pretty much run out on my Rolodex of people
I'm
that I know.
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah.
I'm kind of busy right now with, you know, my kids getting to school and stuff, but, you know, I'm like, okay, I'll get back to you next week about that one. Oh, they're starting school tomorrow, and I'm, like, freaking out.
Must
yeah.
be elementary school.
Well, one of them has first grade, and then the other one is in seventh grade.
Oh,
and she's bigger
wow.
than I am.
Middle school.
But, I mean, I guess we'll be all right.
Yes. She'll be able to handle herself. Yeah, she'll be fine.
But, yeah, she'll be fine, but I don't know about me, though. You know, the mom thing.
Give her some
weight. Oh, my gosh. All right, well, I'm going to sign off here. Got stuff
okay.
to do.
Well, we're gonna wrap it up. I'm going to play us out on Ward's speech that Robin got Icon Award at the Comedy Central 2012. And everybody have a great night. And we'll not
Hello.
See you. You'll hear us again next Tuesday.
Yes. That's just
well, good night, fun. Everybody.
All right.
Good night.
Peace out.
Night.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's a machine gun, he's an explosion, and now I'm lucky enough to get to call him a friend. Ladies and gentlemen, Robin Williams.
Thank you for this lovely platinum Ambien, this lovely R2-D2 illegitimate child, thank you. Tonight, my darling Susan, you'll be fucking an icon. This is wild, thank you so much. I mean, I guess a time machine and my father's acceptance, my therapist will go, wow, take anything off the top shelf. This is kind of beautiful. The wonderful thing is I found out that Eddie Murphy won this last year and that the only time Eddie and I almost worked together was we were supposed to do a photo shoot for Vanity Fair. And her concept was Annie Leibovitz, and she had this wonderful concept, a minstrel show. And she wanted Eddie to wear white face and me to wear black face. And I said, Annie, do you mind if I pass? I don't think a lot of mimes are going to kick Eddie's ass. It's kind of nice, though. You start off doing comedy, and it's a long time ago. You have an open mic night. You sign up. You get on late at night, and they give you 3 minutes. 37 years later, I come on here, I get, you know, this and 3 minutes. Thank you. Fuck off. Thank you. Kind of like the idea of, I guess it's like life. You know, you start off in diapers, you end up in diapers. The bottom line is, I am one of the luckiest fucks in show business, with the possible exception of Ryan Seacrest. That's a weird thing. It's just, I'm so goddamn lucky, man. I mean, the only difference between me and a leprechaun is I snorted my pot of gold. The bottom line, the honor for me, it's an honor to get this award, but the honor for me is to be in the same room with Louis, with Patton, with Chris Rock, Tina Fey, oh my God, Amy Poehler. That's the honor for me. And the other people that are not here, but they're in my heart, Jonathan Winters, the Buddha of Santa Barbara, an amazing guy. Mort Saul, who every time I'm with him, he jump-starts my conscience. He's incredible. Sid Caesar, a man of a million voices. He's the guy, man. And I just honor them. And if I have been this for you, if I have been someone that inspired you, wait, get other inspiration. God bless you. And I just say to you, illegitimi non coverundum. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for this amazing honor. Fucking A. Louis, everybody. Woo! And John! Brace yourself!
This man will tear the tits off the road. God bless you. Thank you so. Have a great fucking night. Woo!